Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's Thought Leader Thursday here on the Opening Bell. Doug Myers is along. He's the SVP and Private Banking Regional Manager at Associated Bank. Doug, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you.
Let's begin with some news out there. I know we've, on past Thought Leader conversations, have talked about this, but the Federal Reserve is wanting to broaden the number of banks receiving regulatory relief, changing some classifications. How big of a deal is this? Is this on your radar screen?
It's a big deal. The administration for the past, 18 months now has changed the regulations from Dodd-Frank, which was passed in the Obama administration. And what it's done, it's created different tier levels for the different regulatory rules that banks are under. And before, it was up to $50 billion banks had a certain regulatory environment, and over $50 billion, it was more restrictive, so to speak. And it goes to the fact that the administration wanted to create protection for banks, too big to fail, so to speak. And so what they've done is the banks that are $50 billion and above, they changed that to $250 billion in assets and over. They put different regulations than the $50 billion and under banks. And that has helped most of the banks in this country to be more profitable. It's lowered the regulatory cost. It changes their liquidity coverage ratios, which means the banks have enough money to cover a month's worth of liabilities, so to speak, to make sure it doesn't fail within the 30 days. It's also changed the trading restriction rules, leverage ratios, the CFPB, which monitored Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which monitored consumer behavior and the banks, how they regulated the consumer behaviors, have changed. So there's been a lot of action on the bank regulations.
Has this impacted Associated or any other banks that we would all be familiar with here in the Chicago area?
It has. And Associated Bank is in that range under $50 billion. And we were looking at making some acquisitions, and we've made some acquisitions, but the goal was to stay under the $50 billion, because once you pass that amount, it changes the regulatory environment for us. Well, now that that's changed to $250 billion, we have some room to grow and look at some acquisitions. We've made three or four recently in the past year. We've bought an insurance company. We bought a registered investment advisory firm. We bought a savings and loan in Milwaukee. And so it has changed the way we do business, and it's eased up the regulations a little bit for us to grow and be a little more profitable.
It's something that consumers will notice or no?
I think they will notice the increased presence of a bank like ours. I think other banks it gives them more profitability to grow. It gives them a little more profitability to introduce new products and manufacture financial products to the consumer. So I think it's a good thing. It also makes them more profitable, and that's important. You know, the capital requirements are going to be more, I think, a little bit less restrictive and help the banks grow a little more.
I know in past conversations with you, we've talked about all of the bureaucracy and red tape. I know that back before the last election, we were hoping that some of that would be taken away. Is all of that coming to fruition, or at least some of that coming to fruition?
It is. There's been a lot of change. And and I mentioned the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and that is an example, has changed leadership. It's changed its philosophy. It's changed in how they operate and how they monitor banks and how they deal with consumers.
Consumers might ask if this is at all putting banks in a position where we could be back in another 2008 situation. Are there enough safeguards in place aside from these regulations to prevent that, do you think?
I think so. That's certainly up for discussion. But I think with the new capital requirements, the new liquidity requirements, the new rules on proprietary trading that the banks have initiated, they call that the Volcker Rule, and that's still in place. So I think that there's enough safeguards in place, and there's still enough regulation in place that it'll allow the banks to have a little more freedom, but at the same time protect the banks. And we don't want a situation where there's too big to fail. And that's what created the domino effect in the 2008 you were referring to.
You talked about growth, mentioned some mergers and acquisitions, and product growth. What would the last part of that look like with product development, things going on besides mergers and acquisitions? What does that growth look like?
Well, I think any time banks merge, it creates new products. It creates a new environment for technology. You know, we've talked about technology a lot. And if you're a community bank, and there's still over 5,000 community banks in this country, you really don't have the wherewithal and the capital base to spend a lot of money on technologies like a Chase, for example, or Bank of America and Wells Fargo, because they're the big boys and they can spend a lot of money on technology where the smaller banks can't. And that's, you have to be able to keep up with technology to maintain your consumer base. And I think the mergers will help that, and it creates bigger scope to be able to spend money on technology and offer the products that consumers want.
Along the lines of rebranding, along the lines of making some changes with technology especially, there was a story recently in wealthmanagement.com about trying to rebrand some of the things that banks do because, I don't know, younger folks might think some of it's a little stodgy. It doesn't have the kind of technology, perhaps, that they're using. How important is it to keep pace with those younger generations? And I know we've had the conversations about millennials a lot on the program, but how important is it to keep this all fresh and new for people that are just coming up into these ranks?
Well, I think it's huge. And I think if you look at the millennial population, they certainly do business differently than maybe our generation does. And I think as you look at what they're using in terms of the Venmos and the PayPals and the Zelles for payments, and that's just one example of how they operate and use the payment system, where that's outside of traditional banking. And I think, you know, the Amazons of the world are getting into banking. And so I think as technology continues to evolve, I think there's going to be a lot of companies like this that offer traditional banking services to the millennials that aren't within banks.
In part of the story talked about finance losing its coolness factor. Do you feel like you're a little less cool than maybe a year or two ago?
Well, I don't think I've ever felt like I'm cool as a banker.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, the environment has changed, and banking certainly has changed in the past, I would say 10 years, but certainly the last, you know, 5 years, it's going at a dramatic pace. And you look at all the financial companies that are getting into the space of transferring funds and these sort of things. It's just creating a whole new world for electronics. And you look at mobile banking, for example. We spend a lot of time and effort and money on our mobile product. And, you know, a large percentage of people now bank with their phones. And the technology is ever evolving. It evolves rapidly, and it's very expensive to maintain a platform like that. And banks have to do that and keep up because the millennials are using digital like never before.
I'm going to segue into some of the things. There was another article too about a couple of different things that banks can avoid doing to make the mistake of turning off millennials. One of them is to sort of become like a one-stop shopping hub for all things financial for somebody. Is that something that Associated Bank has been trying to do?
Well, we certainly want to have a client come in and offer them a full solution set of products. I think that as banks continue to evolve, I think the one-stop shop makes a lot of sense on paper. I'm not so sure it works all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's a very fragmented business. And especially with all these new firms coming on, I think it's a real challenge for us to stay relevant.
Is that the holy grail? Because the story that I found does say that to having that one app that does everything that all of these Venmos and other places do, it would be the holy grail for banks if they could come up with that.
You know, I think that's still in unknown territory, to be honest with you. I think banks have tried to be the one-stop shop. It hasn't necessarily worked. I think of Citigroup, for one example, you know, combined all their financial services into their one company, and because of the recession and other things, that blew up, and that model didn't really work. And so I think as we try to take care of our customers, we try to be a holistic provider of all the financial services, but it's very competitive out there, and some things we can do very well, and some things others can do better, quite honestly. And we're trying to certainly figure out how to maintain that market share and to do more with our clients. And that's a real challenge for us.
The millennials have big hopes for artificial intelligence. The story says that they want, eventually they want all of this to be intuitive. They want the artificial intelligence to pay their bills out of their bank account, to invest their money, send them alerts when their accounts are running low. Is that even possible? Is that where we're headed, that we have artificial intelligence running all of this?
We'll see. I still say that when I look at our wealth management clients, they want that one-on-one relationship. You know, where we add value is where we can help them maintain their dreams and goals, their financial goals. And I think that, once again, artificial intelligence, it's going to evolve. But I think right now it's so important to have that one-on-one relationship and that human touch. Millennials certainly have a different way of looking at that. And I think as they become older and more wealthy, I think that there's probably going to be something to artificial intelligence. But I think it has a ways to go to replace the one-on-one human interaction that we can provide.
Yeah, and before we came on the air this morning, we were talking just amongst some of us here in the studio, all of us not millennials today, about this. And that is, you know, we're kind of uncomfortable using the Venmos and the PayPals and the Apple Pays. And so I still value the one-on-one. That has to still exist for people like us, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And we're glad of that. But I think it's our challenge as a bank to maintain the proper technology advantage, so to speak, that we can still offer our clients what they need in a holistic way.
Yeah. One of the other things, and I think this goes for millennials and other demographics, everybody wants some kind of perk, whether it be points, more money from more interest on our savings, something that would be a perk kind of situation. Are we going back to that now that banks are back on solid footing? Where we get these kinds of perks and stuff from, not necessarily the toaster for opening an account, but something?
Yes, I think so, and I think it's all about value. I think it's all about what we can do to add value to our clients and their financial picture and their financial wherewithal. And it's that adding value, once again, I go back to that human interaction. That's how we're going to set ourselves apart from the rest, is adding value to their financial relationship.
Doug, good conversation this morning. I know you have been struggling with a little bit of a cold this morning, so we appreciate you coming in and hauling for us this morning.
Thank you very much, Steve.
We'll see you next time.